All right, if you guys would stand up, we're going to begin worship. It's great to see the kids up here this morning and some other new faces. So. You can clap.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble, see. Whoa-oh, you are the peace in my trouble, see. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble, see. Whoa-oh, you are the peace. My trouble see. My lighthouse, shining in the dark, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore.
Park, which is an event that we're doing for our kids this week. It's going to be, tonight is the kickoff, and it's going to be Monday through Wednesday after that, 6:30 to 8:30. So we hope to see all these kids there. And so we're going to do this next song. This one is interesting. It requires a little bit of dancing in part of it. So I'm going to warn you when that comes up, but this is going to be fun.
Thank you.
Guys would make your way and say hi to your neighbor. All right, if you guys would stand up, we're going to continue in worship.
Thank you. it.
So as you can tell, our praising in the park is a little bit high energy, and we have a great time with the kids all week long. It's one of the highlights of the year. I remember one of the kids last week, they said, you know, it was, they were talking about how much they loved it and said, this is the most fun we have all year long. And they come, they get to hear about Jesus all week. We've seen numerous kids saved through this ministry. It's for our kids at Cornerstone, but it's also for kids in the community. We had almost 300 kids, I think, last year. Awesome ministry. So just appreciate you guys helping with that and make that possible. We've been in a series talking about what in the world's going on. And we've been tackling some tough topics. And we've hit some things that need discussing. And as I've said the last few weeks, the gospel is able to penetrate the darkest corners of our society, the darkest parts of our fears. The gospel can shine light on that. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about our fear. About 15 and a half years ago, something unique happened in our culture. And for our teenagers and even our young 20-somethings, they don't really remember this. But for anybody older, you remember this quite well. About 15 and a half years ago, and leading up to the turn of the century, everybody was a little worried. Exactly. We're thinking about going up to Y2K. Let me give you some of the computer background. When computers first came out, they didn't have a lot of memory, and so programmers, to save memory, instead of coding in the year in programs with 4 digits, they coded it in with 2 digits. And so when it got to 99 and then it reset back to 00, the fear was that all our computer systems were going to crash. And so this caused, really, in many areas, almost like a mass hysteria leading up to it. Everybody was worried. You had people on the news saying, your refrigerator's going to quit running at Y2K. Because it's got a computer chip in it, and when that thing goes, it's just going to quit running. And you had people it was crazy leading up to it. And everybody talking about the different, you know, and all, the power's going to go out, the power grid's going to go down. And not only that, the phones are going to quit working. And maybe you knew some people like this. I knew there was one family in our church at the time that was, they were scared. And they got mad at me because I wasn't scared too. And they had stockpiled food. And, you know, ammo, guns, all the, they were telling everybody, you've got to fill up all your bathtubs with water. You're not going to have water. You're not going to have electricity. This is going to be it. It's going to be the end. So what did I do? Nothing. I waited up and when at midnight, you know, I went over and I picked up the phone off the wall because, you know, we didn't have cell phones. And I picked up the phone and I so wanted to call them and just say, how's it going? I didn't do that. But, there was so much fear. And the thing is, the media fueled it, right? Every time you turned it on, is Y2K going to be the end of the world as we know it? And you had the media fueling it, but not just the media was fueling it. You know who else was fueling it? The church. People in the church were more scared than anybody. I mean, it was like this is the, you know, and I think that's led into the whole kind of doomsday preppers movement we have now. It all started with Y2K, everybody being afraid. And I read an interesting article in Psychology Today when I was researching for this message. And this is what they said. They said, fear-based news stories prey on the anxieties we have, and then they hold us hostage. Being glued to the TV, reading the paper, or surfing the internet increases ratings and market shares, but it also raises the probability of depression. In previous decades, the journalistic mission was to report the news as it actually happened, with fairness, balance, and integrity. However, capitalistic motives associated with journalism have forced much of today's TV news to look to the spectacular, the stirring, and the controversial as news stories. It's no longer a race to break the story first or to get the facts right. Instead, it's to acquire good ratings in order to get advertisers so that profits soar. And we've seen that, right? I mean, the news media, they love a good story. They love to get people worked up. And it goes on to say, news programming really uses a hierarchy. And they say, if it bleeds, it leads. Fear-based news programming has two aims. The first, it's to grab the viewer's attention. In the news media, this is called the teaser. The second aim is to persuade the viewer that the solution for reducing the identified fear will be in the news story. So you'll see stuff like, what's in the tap water that you need to know about? And you're like, oh my goodness, what is in the tap water? Maybe I need to, what if I'm drinking something that's going to cause harm to me? And so what do? We tune in, and you know when they do that, the teaser, they don't give you the answer until the very end of the news, right? They keep teasing it through the whole time to make you watch. Why are they doing that? They're preying on our fear. They're preying on our anxiety. They're working on ratings. And here's the reality. It's successful. It works. And so when you open the newspaper, when you see like the feel-good stories, they're like hidden back in the second page or the second section of the newspaper. What's on the front? It's who did the crimes. It's the accidents. It's the news story. It's the fear. Because that's what our society has turned into. And get this, children and adults who are exposed to media are more likely to feel that their neighborhoods and their communities are unsafe. They're more likely to believe that crime rates are rising. They're more likely to overestimate their odds of becoming a victim. And they're more likely to consider the world to be a dangerous place. And we have all sorts of fears. And that's why I think it's so important for us to talk about this, because we live in a world fueled by fear. Now, just this week, right, we saw the act of terrorism. And we saw the four Marines and the Navy officer that were killed. I mean, that it's just like every time we turn on the news, we see something like that that scares us. And the generation that's coming up, this is the first generation that has grown up in a world fueled by terrorism, right? They grew up with 9/11 and seeing that happen, and they're fearful. And so this is why this is so important. I know we went down to Greensboro, to downtown, to a big street festival on the 4th of July, and I was talking to some of the teenagers that were with us, and they were worried. They're like, but the news said there's supposed to be a terrorist attack, and are we going to be around a lot of people, and are we safe? It's the questions that they had going through their mind. We have fear of natural calamities because every time we turn on the TV, we see another show about tornadoes or hurricanes or tsunamis. We worry and we have anxiety about our health. We fear dying. We fear losing our job or having a layoff. We fear not having enough money. We have all sorts of fears and phobias about situations, and whether it's a fear of heights or a fear of flying or a fear of crowds. And the phobias paralyze us and keep us from doing anything. We have a fear of being insignificant. And it's funny how all these different fears, like the fear of insignificance. I still remember, and I've shared this before, but as I look back on my life story, and when I was a youth pastor and I stepped back from that role and said, God, I don't know what's next, but I'm going to trust you. I remember the question that I had. And I even told Jennifer this. I said, what if God never uses me again? What if what I just did was just stupid? And that's the fear of insignificance that we all have. We worry, God, will my life make a difference? There's fear. We worry about shark attacks. We just got back from the beach with the youth group. I'm not going to name any names, but there were several youth that were like, I ain't getting in that ocean. You seen all the shark attacks? We've got fear of bad things happening to our kids, parents, right? And so parents kind of hover over the kids. Don't do this. No, don't do this. No, we're right here with you. And so we have, there's even a term now for that, helicopter parents that just hover over their kids. And one college psychologist said that over-involved helicopter parenting is taking a serious toll on the psychological well-being of college students. Because why? They can't make decisions. They've had somebody right with them their whole life telling them what to do. And you've got parents calling college professors saying, I can't believe you gave my student that grade. You need to regrade that. It's crazy the world we live in. We live in a world with fear. And you know what that does? It creates anxiety. It creates depression. Even among adult children. And people aren't confident. They have no self-esteem. They're worried. They're on anti-anxiety medication, which is growing like crazy in our world today. Why? Because everybody is stressed out. Everybody is worried. Nobody has peace in their life. And I'm telling you, the Bible speaks to this. That's not the way it should be. I hate to pull out the back in my day speech because I'm not that old. But times have changed. Back in my day, parents didn't worry about their kids so much, right? And many of you are like me. I grew up right here in this community. And so when I was a kid, I started walking to school when I was in first grade, right? You're fine. Just go on. Get out. Get you out of the house. And as long as we were home for lunch during the summer, and as long as we were home for supper, my parents did not care where I was. Most of the time, I was either in this ball field right over here at the elementary school playing with a bunch of community friends, or I was over here at Hop In spending quarters on pinball. That's you, or Galaga. Man, Galaga. I'm good at Galaga. I'm just warning you. And that's what our childhood was like. Now, you can't let your kids out of your sight. And here's the question I want to ask you. Has the world really changed, or has our perception of the world changed? Is there more evil now, or do we just know more about the evil that's out there? I would argue that the world really hasn't changed. There's always been evil. But what we have now is we have a generation that's been brought up in this media, that's been brought up in this world where all we see is news stories about the incredibly harmful and evil things that happen in our world. And we all think, well, that's going to happen to me. And so I've got to be prepared. And here's why I mention all that. And here's why I talk about that. We've got to be careful that we don't live lives controlled by fear, but we live lives controlled by the gospel. President Franklin Roosevelt, he was correct, I think, when he said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And if our society becomes based on fear, the biggest consequence is that people start changing their lives to deal with it. We hover over our kids. We build big gates around our houses. We live in gated communities. We don't go out in public. And you start seeing a whole generation of people modify their life because they're paralyzed by the fear of what's going to happen. And here's the reality. Most of the time, what they're afraid about will never happen. It's illogical. We have illogical fear. There's so many examples of this through our society and through the past years. You can go back. In 2001, it was another year where there were shark attacks everywhere. And so the media kept talking about people quit going to the beaches because they're afraid of shark attacks. And when you go back and look, there were really no more shark attacks that year than other years. It just everybody, the media kind of jumped on it and created a frenzy. You remember in 2004, there was a hysteria about flu shots. We're going to run out of flu shots. And like everybody made a run on all the doctors and nurses' office because he had to get the flu shot. And you know what? We ended up with a huge surplus that year. And what we see is time after time after time, when we step back, we see that most of our fears are unfounded. And again, I just want us to make us realize that we live in a time when we are paralyzed by this fear. And does it have to be that way? If you're following along your notes this morning, here's my first point, and then we'll jump into scripture here. Fear may fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill our hearts. And I hope you believe me on this. I hope you take my word, and we'll see through God's word that this is true. But fear may fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill your heart. And the reason I think this is so important is because I'm telling you, I've seen it, I've experienced it. So many people, we live anxiety-filled lives where we worry about everything. And the secret to conquering our fear, I'm telling you, it begins and it ends in Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, we are hopeless to conquer our fear. Without Jesus, we will be worried. We will be anxious. But Jesus wants every single one of us to have peace with God and peace with others around us. And so this morning, what I just want to ask you, before we jump into the scripture, what are you afraid of? What is it that keeps you awake at night? What is it that you're just like worrying about? And when you have those down moments in your life, you just start thinking, you know, I'm worried about this. Is it relational conflict? Is it things that are going on in the world today? Is it our government? And what we've already talked about in this series, no matter what our government does, it does not change the mission of this church. So what is it that you're afraid of? What is it that bothers you? What is it that keeps you from giving your life wholly to God? What is it that holds you back? Everybody, including me, we're afraid of something. And so I hope that this morning, our challenge now is to discover, to analyze our fears, and to find a godly, a biblical response to deal with it. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6 this morning. Familiar passage. One that you've probably heard of. It's from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has everybody kind of pulled to the side. It's the longest message that we have in Scripture. He's kind of reworking, turning everything upside down that they have experienced, that they have thought about what it means to follow God. And so he's really challenging his disciples. He's really kind of pushing back against the crowd and saying, "You've heard it said, but I tell you this." And maybe you've thought it was this way, but no, here's how it really is. And so in the midst of that, what does Jesus talk about? He talks about worry. He talks about anxiety. He talks about stress. Nothing new. It's been around for the last 2,000 years. But we struggle with this so much. Matthew 6, this is what Jesus says. He said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Some of you here, you needed to hear that this morning. Your worries are not going to add a single moment to your life. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So right there we see the problem with worry and anxiety. It's little faith. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Can I get an amen? Today's trouble is enough. Here's what I want you to know this morning. As we look at our fear, there's a few points that we can do to overcome it. The first, we can drive out our fear by increasing our knowledge of God. As we increase our knowledge of God, who he is, what he has done, as we get to know his character, his nature, it helps us overcome our fear. Max Lucado wrote a cool book called Fearless, Imagine Your Life Without Fear. And this is what he said. He said, feed your fears and your faith will starve. Feed your faith and your fears will starve. And there's some truth there, right? And I'm telling you, both our fear and our faith are contagious. Our fear is contagious. Have you ever been around somebody that's always worried? And they're just always, oh, I can't believe this. I'm worried about this. I don't know what happened. You can't help but when you're around people like that to start acting the same way. Right? And everybody, that's why you get in a group kind of group setting. You get in people group complaining. Group whining. Let's be honest and real and call it what it is. And what happens when we get together like that? Everybody, I can't believe this. I'm worried about this. And we get anxious and you feel your heart rate going up and your face gets flush and you know, you start feeling that panic. And I mean, we have so many people that suffer from anxiety attacks. Why? Because of worry, because of stress, because of anxiety. And when we look at this verse, he says, is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Some of you already get upset at Jesus. You say, wait a minute. You can talk about clothing, but man, I like my food. Life without food. Now, do we have any people that like to eat in here? Okay. I went to a pastor's conference this week in Abington. I got to tell you about this. Here's a little side note for you. We had one of the best steaks I've ever had in my life. And a church cooked it. They cooked for like 150 people, 120 people, I don't know how many. It was a 16-ounce bone-in ribeye. That's some good food. You just cut it. I mean, the meat just fell off. It was marvelous. It was good. Baked potato, like huge old salt-coated skin baked potato. Key lime pie. To top it all off, they had chocolate, they had key lime. I'm a key lime guy myself. Nice salad, all sorts of that. I had a Vidalia onion dressing on my salad. It was good. Man. And we love food. We love to talk about it. And I don't know about you, but many times we find food controlling us, don't we? We worry about it. Man, what are we going? How many times do you say, what are we going to eat tonight? Where are we going to go? And God's saying, wait a minute, you worry about food, you worry about what you're going to wear. Obviously, I don't worry about what I wear. We worry about all this stuff, and he's saying, is that really what's important in life? You need to get your priorities straight. And I see so many things that we struggle with and that we give value to. And the things that we value in life the most, what happens is, if we hold on too tightly around it, then we'll start experiencing fear and anxiety. If you buy a new car, I'm telling the truth. If you buy a new car, you will park a mile away from Walmart and walk just because you don't want to be around anybody because you don't want to get scratched on your car. And when you do that, I guarantee you there will be a car that just goes through the parking lot in slow motion and makes a beeline and hits your car. Why? Because when we hold on so tightly to something and we value it and we love it and we think, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. What happens? Fear and anxiety. I don't want anything to happen to it. I'm worried about it. And you will experience this. I'm telling you, that's why we have helicopter parents. Because you love your kids so much, you don't want anything to happen to them. So what happens? Fear and anxiety rise up. And we see this in so many, and when we value something, it controls us if we're not careful. And money, that's why Jesus is talking about this whole passage in Matthew 6 is our possessions, our stuff. Why are we worried about it so much? God's going to take care of us. And money, it gets all of us. We start worrying, man, am I going to have enough money to pay the bills this week? Can I actually give money to the church and tithe? Well, I'm not sure. And we start worrying about how we're going to pay the bills and how we're going to get groceries and what we're going to do. And that fear, why? Because many times we hold on to money so tightly, fear and anxiety grip us about it. And so when we're talking about fear and anxiety, what you're actually talking about is what is ruling and reigning in your life. What is it that you have lifted up and made an idol in your life? And we don't like to use that word, but I'm telling you, we do it all the time. The things in life that grip, that we worry about, and we have anxiety about, the reason we have anxiety about them because we have made them an idol. We've lifted them up and exalted them, and they have taken the place of Jesus in our life. And so Jesus here is saying, watch your priorities. Watch how you categorize. He wants you to consider, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, and yet your heavenly Father, He takes care of them. Doesn't He care about you just as much? And so really, what we've got to talk about is, do we trust God? Do we really trust God? And throughout Scripture, what you see, and Jesus talks about fear, almost really more than almost anything else. And we see Him talk about fear over and over. And throughout Scripture, we see that. Whenever a man or a woman of God is given a command, it seems like almost always the command goes with it, fear not. Fear not. Abraham, when God called him out of Ur to start a new nation, fear not. And Moses, when he was about to bring God's people out of bondage in Egypt, fear not. Joshua, man, you want to talk about courage and not being afraid. Read Joshua chapter 1. The one who was to lead the people into the promised land. The one who, when Caleb and Joshua went in, they weren't afraid and they were courageous and they were able to go into the promised land. Joshua, God says, don't be afraid. Be strong, be courageous, for I am with you. Mary, when she was about to give birth to the hope of mankind, don't be afraid. Right? Peter, who, you know, God tells him, don't be afraid. Paul, what? Fear not. We see it over and over and over and over again through Scripture. And before God can use us, we have to take our fears and recognize them for what they are, a lack of trust in God's plan for our life. And so we see it just throughout Scripture. And here's another thing as we talk about fear. As our knowledge of God increases, as we understand that He loves us and that He cares for us and He wants what's good for us, what we see is that so many of our bad choices are also based in fear. So many of our self-destructive choices are based in fear. Why? Because we're worried about the consequences. We try to control our life and we try to take it into our hands and say, I've got this, God, I don't need your help. A.W. Tozer has an incredible quote in The Pursuit of God, and this is what he said. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our mind when we think about God, who is God in your life? See, a lot of people just think God's out there to get us. But when we understand that He loves us, He loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. When we start understanding His nature, His character, that He wants us to be reconciled to Him, that He wants to have a personal relationship with us, then we can start conquering our fear. And that leads us to the second point this morning, is we've got to deal with it and don't dwell on it. If we want to overcome our fear, we've got to deal with it. We can't dwell on it. Verse 34 says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, all right? For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If we dwell on it, if we start, and you know you've done this before, you've started worrying about something, just eats at you, and before long, it just like consumes you, that fear, that doubt, that anxiety, it just starts controlling your life. And here's where you really see the compassion of Jesus step in. When He says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Or the NIV says, today has enough trouble of its own. Let me tell you why that's compassionate. You were just given permission to deal with anxiety and fear today. So how do you deal with it? You give it over to Jesus. Today you're going to have fear and anxiety. Guess what? When it comes up, you deal with it. You know how you deal with it? You give it to Jesus and say, here it is. I'm going to trust you. Instead of trying to control this situation, and instead of trying to manipulate everything so it works out best for me, I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to dwell on it. God, take care of it. We lay it down at the foot of the cross. And I want to press you on this truth here a little bit, because this is tough. The bottom line is that most fear and anxiety is just, you do not trust that God is good. And if you're here and you're a worrier, you may say, but I know God is good. Do you really believe it, though? You may say it with your mind, but do you believe it in your heart that God is good and that he wants what is good in your life for you? That he has the best intentions for your life, that he has wired you, he has made you, he has created you in his image. And because of that, he has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He did not make an, it was not an accident that you are the way you are. And when we realize that, then we can maybe stop pretending and we can start believing that God is good. You know, we've just got to let the Holy Spirit break into our lives and break the confusion in this area. Fear and anxiety are never going to lose their power over to you until you can be honest with God about it and say, I'm really going to trust you. I believe you, and I'm going to trust you. And so you've got to shift your focus from your fear to the ever-present God that is with you. And I know that's hard to do. It's easy to say. I know it's hard to do because we worry. But again, it comes back. Do you trust that God is good? And this message, I'm telling you, it applies to our kids. It applies to the adults. It applies to our teenagers, because fear is a universal emotion. Focus on today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about a year from now. And you may say, well, I've got to be prepared. Be prepared, but don't worry. There's a difference, right? We can think through and we can be prepared and we can plan. And I'm not saying go cancel all your insurance policies and just go, you know, YOLO. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm saying trust God. Trust God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take advantage, be present in today. Follow God where you're at today. God meets our daily needs. That's why we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily what? Bread. I read a story online a couple weeks ago, and one of our translators in Nicaragua had posted it. And it was about an American couple that went and lived in a Nicaraguan city for the summer. And they lived in Granada. Granada is an absolutely beautiful city south of Managua. It was built in the 1500s. One of the first, I think it is the first official European city in the New World. And so it has Spanish architecture. A beautiful, beautiful city on the lake, and still you go there today and you still have all the old architecture in the buildings. But an American couple lived there for the summer. And they were talking about one of the things about getting what they learned from the Nicaraguan people. They kind of went and they were worried, and they're like, well, where do we get groceries and how we do this? And they were trying to plan out what they were going to eat each day, and they noticed none of their neighbors were doing this. And they're like, they noticed their neighbors weren't even cooking, but yet they had hot meals every. And they're like, how's this working? And so they finally, you know, you go to a new country, you start asking around, figuring out what's going on. And what happened? And it's on their street or on their block. There was one lady who her business was cooking beans, and so she would cook beans, and that was her actually livelihood, her business. She would just go around and bring the beans at supper time to all the families on the block. You had another family whose purpose they made the tortilla shell. So at 11 a.m. he would go through town selling his tortillas, and then at like 4 p.m. he would go through, and they were like 8 cents a piece or something like that, you know. And so they're going through town, and that's how they ate. And she said, I was worried at first because it's like they eat the same thing all the time. But she said, you know what? We got used to it because there was no worry. There's no anxiety about what we're going to eat. Just every day when it was time to eat, somebody would come through. We'd get our food. We'd eat. Give us this day our daily bread. See what I'm talking about? How we live, how we get consumed with worry and anxiety and we don't even realize it. I'm telling you, sometimes when you go to another culture, and whether it's Nicaragua or another country you've been to, you learn a lot from them. And I'm telling you, you can go into the poorest of the poor, and they don't deal with worry and anxiety. Sometimes having things complicates our life. So that's why we've got to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. When anxiety hits, deal with it. Don't dwell on it. Don't let it eat at you. Don't waste an hour wondering about what your boss thinks. Don't wonder about what your friends say. Don't worry. I mean, if you've got a mole and you're like, oh, that thing's cancer. I know it's cancer. Don't dwell on it. Go to the doctor and find out. Quit talking about it. Deal with it instead of dwelling on it. You see how we do this in so many areas of your life. The third thing this morning. Replace what you don't know about the future with what you do know about God. If we really want to deal with fear, anxiety, worry, depression, here's how we do it. Replace what you don't know about the future with what you do know about God. Verse 33 said this. It said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. David Jeremiah says this. He wrote another book about fear, and he said this. He says, think about it. Fear is almost always based on the future. Sometimes we're afraid because we don't know what's coming in the future, but more commonly, we're afraid of what we don't know about the future. We're afraid of what might happen. For instance, the Gallup organization asked 13 to 17-year-olds what they were most afraid of. In descending order, the top 10 fears of these teens were terrorist attacks, spiders, death, not succeeding in life, war, heights, crime, being alone, the future, and nuclear war. Here's the reality. We know very little about the future, but God knows about the future. He knows everything about it. And that's why God is the answer to all of our fears. If God is good and loving, and he is, right? And if God is all powerful, and he is, right? And if God has a purpose and a plan that includes his children, and he does, and if we are his children, I hope you are, then there is no reason to fear anything, for God is in control of everything. Jesus' disciples, they struggled with doubt. They struggled with fear. They were worried when Jesus was about to go away. So in John 14, this is what he told them. In verse 1 and 2, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? He's saying here, wait a minute. Don't worry. They're worried. He's getting ready to leave them. He's like, okay, it's all right. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come back and get you so that you can come with me. That's what he says, and he's telling them. Then he goes on in verse 25, and he says, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But get this. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. He will remind you of everything I've told you. I'm leaving you with a gift. Underline this. If you write it down, I'm giving you a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Do you have peace? The peace of mind, the peace of heart, it comes from a relationship with God. It comes from having the Holy Spirit live inside of us to remind us that we belong to God, that he is in control. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be anxious. That God is with us. There's an author named Neil Anderson, and he says, fear is a thief. It erodes our faith. It plunders our hope. It steals our freedom. It takes away our joy of living the abundant life in Christ. Phobias are like the coils of a snake. The more we give into them, the tighter they squeeze. And so tired of fighting, we succumb to the temptation and surrender to our fears. But what seemed like an easy way out becomes in reality a prison of unbelief, a fortress of fear that holds us captive. Is God enough? Matthew 6 says this. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Do you believe that? I'm going to give you some homework this week. And this is going to be tough for some of you. I really want to encourage you to do this. I'm going to ask you to do two things. The first thing, take a break from the news. Whether it's 1 week, whether it's 2 weeks, whether it's a month, just quit watching it. The world's not going to stop. I don't care what news channel you watch, whether you read it online, whether you watch it on TV, whether you listen to it on radio, take a break from it. And in those times that you normally spent learning and soaking in what's happening in the world around you, get into God's Word instead. And I want you to honestly, I want you, if you would be willing to do that, I guarantee in a couple weeks when you kind of look back, I want you to evaluate your level of anxiety after that versus your level of anxiety now. First thing, cut out the news, replace it with God's Word. Second thing I'm going to ask you to do, start writing out your anxieties. Start writing out your fears. And keep track of them. And what that does is when you can go back a week later, a month later, even a year later, you go back and you see how many of them were illogical and unfounded. Were fears about things that never happened. And you start seeing how much fear controls you. That's your two assignments. Can we do it? I'm going to challenge you to do it. And you sit here, I don't need to do that. Try it. Try it and see if you're more happy, if you have more joy, if you have more passion, if you have more love for others by cutting out the news. If you work for the news, I'm sorry. Quit promoting fear. You wouldn't have this problem. Right? I think this is so important. Max Lucado says this. He says, imagine your life wholly untouched by angst. What if faith, not fear, was your default reaction to threats? What if you could hover a fear magnet over your heart and extract every last shaving of dread, insecurity, or doubt? What would remain? Envision a day, just one day, where you could trust more and fear less. Can you imagine your life without fear? That's my question for all of us this morning. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. They're going to close with a song. We've sung it a few times in the last few weeks. It's called No Longer Slaves. And Romans 8 says this. It says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And get this. This is your chance. This is your invitation. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, this is your chance to become a child of God, to trust in Him for your salvation, to trust in Him so that your sins can be forgiven, to trust in Him so that your fear, your anxiety, your worry can be placed on Jesus. And I'm telling you, He can handle it. When he died on the cross, he died on the cross to take all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our anxiety, all of our worry, all of our guilt. And all we have to do is we confess with our mouth that the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, I ask that you bow your heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that we suffer from fear and anxiety, worry and stress, and we know, Lord, that you have the solution to it. It's trust. You can give us courage. You can give us peace. You can give us strength. And so this morning, I don't know what the fear that each person here is suffering from, but I know that you are more than capable. I know you are more than powerful. I know that you love us so much that you want to deal with it. And it means that this morning, Lord, we just need to seek and ask you. If we don't have a relationship with you, Lord, it starts right there. To confess our sins, to acknowledge you as our Savior. You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from unrighteousness. And this morning, I pray that each person in the room would be able to say, I am a child of God. I pray for those in this room that are believers and yet still struggle with fear and anxiety and worry and depression. Help us, Lord, to look and just believe, not just in our head, but in our heart, that you are good. Lord, we just thank you that you love us so much. The ultimate example of love was that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And so this morning, we just turn it over to you. Everything. Fear, anxiety, worry, all that. We just trust you, God. Thank you, God, so much for being here in this place this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we close out this morning, on your communication cards on the back, there's a spot. If you need to take a next step, if you have a prayer request, whatever it is, you can mark out whatever you need. You can mark those, and then you can give them to one of our greeters as you leave. You can put them in an offering box. We'll get them. We'll pray for you. As always, I'm going to be in the back. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, and you want to pray, I will be there. I will talk with you. I'll pray. If you're here this morning, you just need prayer, I will pray with you. But we'll be in the back, and we're going to stand up, and we're going to sing this song. We're not slaves anymore. We're children. We're children of God.
us for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a great week.